There you go, it's recording. If you'll pray with me. Lord, we come before you this morning. So grateful that we get to come before you this morning. I just ask that you give me your words. If they're on this page, let me speak them in truth. If they're not, just put them in my mouth. And as they go out from me to everyone listening, change hearts, Lord, and have it be your will and not ours. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about truth. Before we start, I need to share with you a problem about that. Since the beginning of mankind, from the first thought we thunk, we have been chasing after truth. We want to know what it is, what it does, where it comes from. And there's even a philosophical category called epistemology, which deals with essentially the question, what even is knowing stuff? But we won't get into that because epistemology is where philosophers go to go crazy. For many thousands of years, we have studied the subject of truth. And in all that time, we've collectively discovered one tiny chunk of one little corner of the fullness of truth. And I tell you this because I have 15 minutes, maybe, before your eyes glaze over and you stop paying attention to anything I'm saying. I know, because I usually sit down front. And that's if I'm lucky. I mean, Jeff is probably already thinking that this sermon doesn't have enough Job in it and is off on something. I can't cover all of truth in one sermon. It is a subject that is possibly one of the biggest subjects there ever was or ever will be. I can't even cover it in a lifetime of sermons. And so I say the words that I say every single time I come up here, which the folks from Marius Brown will no doubt be sick of hearing, but I say it yet again. You will not be able to know your God well enough if you only speak and talk to him and be with him for 1 hour, 1 day a week. You have to go beyond this. You have to do things outside these doors. Crack open your Bible. Read some commentary. Go to Bible studies. Seek truth. Because this is not going to be enough. This is just a call to action. As I was preparing the sermon this week, I was running it by my wife. And explaining to her what it was I was going to talk about and doing a few practice runs. And partway through, she interrupted me. I think it was probably mid-sentence. And she said the following words, and I wrote them down at the top of the paper so I could get them exactly right. Why study truth? Why bother? She cuts me deep. But as is usually the case, she was right. If I get up before you and I give some maybe elegant but maybe esoteric sermon on truth, but you don't know why we should even bother, then you're not going to pay any attention to what I'm saying anyway. It's not going to mean anything because you don't know why we should be after truth. So today, we're going to start there. And if there's any time left at all, and there won't be, we'll get into some other things that I wanted to talk about. But first, let's talk about why study truth. Why bother? And for that, we turn to Scripture. I have 6 verses to share with you today on that subject. The first comes from Ephesians 4:25, and that says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." As I was researching for the sermon and looking into this verse, I found some commentary. It's Ellicott's Commentary for English Readers, and it had a sentence in there that I want to read. It says, this is directly related to this quote from Ephesians. "Truth is the first condition of the mutual confidence which is the basis for all unity." I jumped out of my chair when I read this sentence. I was just so fired up over it. And I'm going to read it again, and then we'll talk about what it and the Ephesians quote means. "Truth is the first condition of the mutual confidence, which is the basis of all unity. What this, and more importantly, Ephesians is saying is that truth is a requirement for fellowship. If we are to be unified, which we're supposed to be, we are to be one with each other, we are to be one with God, we are to be one in truth, we have to have truth as the foundation for who we are. Because if you don't trust me, then we can't be unified. You will always, in your head, be thinking, what if he's not telling me the truth? What if he's manipulating me for his own gains? So we have to be honest with each other. So what Ephesians says, the first reason why we have to seek truth is because fellowship is impossible without it. True fellowship, what we're called to. We all have to be here in truth with one another. Next up, we're going to go to the book of Psalms. And Psalms is beautiful. There's so many great things there. And this one I absolutely love. Psalm 86, 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." The writer here of Psalms says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." He's asking God to teach him the way of truth so that he can walk in it. One of the things that we're called to do is follow God. You cannot follow God if you don't know truth, because his footsteps are truth. And if we're to follow them, then we have to know that. So first, we have truth is a requirement for fellowship. Second, we have truth is a requirement for walking in the path of God. Next up, we look at a pair of verses from 1 John. 1 John 1:8 and then 1 John 1:6. And they kind of go together, but they say something slightly different. And I love how they play off one another. From 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And from 1 John 1:6, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." These two verses are saying something similar but slightly different. The first, from 1 John 1:8, says that without the truth, we deceive ourselves. We don't know that we're not walking in truth because we don't know the truth in the first place. And the second is very similar, but notice the subtle difference. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, here, it's not saying you're deceived. It's saying that you're willfully walking in darkness. But in both cases, you need to know the truth so that you can follow it. And then we go to the book of John. Man, John was a truth fiend. That guy loved truth. If you go look at a list of all the verses in the Bible that talk about truth, a lot of them are in John, because he was addicted to the truth. And in John 4:24, it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." If you want to worship God, and I highly recommend it because he's worthy of your worship, the only way to do it is in spirit and truth. This says you must. There's no other option. If you're worshiping God in lies, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping something else. And you will worship something. So knowing what it is and making sure it's true is really pretty important. Now, all of the verses that I've read for you so far are from the New Testament. And there's some hard things in the New Testament, but I think we'd all agree that overall, the New Testament is pretty nice and friendly. But sometimes we need a little bit of fire and brimstone to kick us into gear. So we're going to go back into the Old Testament, and we're going to take a look at maybe something that's a little less fuzzy, in case that fire needs lit. From Hosea 4:6, this is the flip side, the not so much invitation to come to truth, but what happens when we don't? "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. We don't necessarily like some of those bits as much. But all truth is God's truth. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's painful. But it's still worth going after. It would be worth going after even if we weren't commanded to do it. But as I've just read, we are. And so, though I wanted to share with you this morning words from St. Augustine and a philosophical discussion of truth and the knowledge of it, today I just start with why. Why you should go after it. Why, when you walk out those doors, you should change your week. Because every week you come here, you should be different when you walk out those doors. Every week you should be a little closer to the truth and a little closer to being one with Christ. But that's a personal choice. So make the choice wisely. Amen.